A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Chulin Daf Tzadi, Chulin 98, pagination is 179. We'll start on the facing page at the beginning of the new perek, Gid Hanoshe, about four lines from the top. The Gid Hanoshe is a specific part towards the back of the animal, the hindquarters of the animal, which is the equivalent of the human thigh. As we know from the Pasuk in Pashas Vayishlach, one of the earliest mitzvahs in the Torah, is the description, Al-Kain lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael eskid hanoshe, the descendants of Yisrael, Yaakov, the patriarch, do not eat the gid hanoshe because of the incident between Yaakov and the Malach, Saro shel Esav, the minister of Esav, in that wrestling match, Behavko Imo, as they wrestled, so the part of Yaakov that got damaged was that part by the thigh, and its corresponding part is forbidden when we prepare an animal for kosher consumption. We eliminate that part. So that Gid Hanoshe, that rule, says the Mishnah, Noig ba'aretz v'chutzala aretz, applies everywhere in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, in time of the Beis HaMikdash, not in time of the Beis HaMikdash, with non-sacred and with sacred, the Gid Hanoshe is removed. V'noig ba'behema uvachayo, it applies by all animals, domesticated and non-domesticated. V'eina noig ba'of, but it does not apply by a bird. There is no corresponding part that becomes forbidden because of Gid Hanoshe. On Amud Beis of today's daf, so we're on pagination 180, 90b, Tzadi Amud Beis, there's a piece here where the Gemara kind of branches off, but it's an important concept, the concept of exaggeration. And sometimes this gets confusing to the novice, and sometimes even to the advanced Talmudic scholar, where it's not 100% clear all the time whether a statement was meant to be legalistic and literal, or it was meant to express a concept, and it's a little bit more of poetic license or exaggeration. And as we'll see, we're not given to just arbitrary exaggeration, which is like a lie. I mean, we don't do that. But sometimes when we're trying to convey an idea, for example, that there's an enormous amount, so we'll use an expression that seems to be giving a number, but if you know the code words of the Talmud, it's not an actual number, it's not a technical number, it's almost a code word. We have, for example, that in Beitar, there were 400 synagogues. Or we'll see in our Gemara that there were 300 of something. So the number 400 is the gematria, the numerical equivalent of Taf, the highest level of the Aleph Beis. So when we say that there were 400 of something, it doesn't necessarily mean, like an act of faith, that they walked out and counted and it was exactly 400. What they're saying is that it's over the top. It's like so much. This is far more than expectation. It's like the max that a human being could conceive. That's 400. And 300 is an expression that is pretty close to the max. It's just about as big as you can get. Just about. Not quite, a little bit less, but it's way up there. And there's an art, almost a style sheet, to know when the Gemara means such a thing, and to be able to know the difference between what we describe as the typical tone of the Gemara. Typical tone of the Talmud is legalistic, but there are a lot of concepts going around. And the typical tone of the Medrash, not always, sometimes it's literal, Oftentimes it's literal, but the expression medrash, oh, that's a medrash, is because the medrash will more often than the Talmud does, it'll employ figurative language to express a deeper concept. And the true student understands that a concept is being expressed. That means that the expression is not untrue. It just needs to be understood in the vein that it was intended. And it's not always totally literal. An example of this is the concept that Migdal Bavel, Parshas Noach, was partly destroyed. That was the tower that they tried to build to, according to one approach, fight with Hashem. Very, very tall. They just kept building. So Hashem destroyed it. So a third was destroyed. A third was sunken in that spot. And a third was spread throughout the world. So you want to learn literal. But it could very well be, and this is how the commentaries accept it, that it's not that the physical bricks were spread around the world, but that energy, that legacy, was a third destroyed, just like certain types of Yetzirah were destroyed at certain point. A third of it was sunk in place. You'll find it repeat itself in that location. It's almost planted in that place. And a third of it was spread throughout the world, and you'll find vestiges of it. So again, for our purposes, to know whether we're expressing something very literal and it's an act of faith, something like Kriyas Yamsuf, the Pasuk says it, it happened. The sea split. You want to discuss that Hashem veiled it in nature with great winds, but it was clearly a miracle. Winds don't produce the kind of miraculous crossing that the Jewish people experienced and then hit the Egyptian with the waves that were until then standing like glass walls, a corridor. If the Pasuk says it, it's the fact. That's what happened. But when we get to the Gemara, etc., the concept of exaggeration sometimes does exist. And we'll have an example over here, even in Torah, where an expression is used, and it's not meant to be literal, but it's not totally off base, as we will see. Let's begin about a quarter of the way down, at the end of a line, Tanan Hosam Tapuach. Tanan Hosam, we learned over there. Tapuach, there was a, we translate tapuach, an apple, but it means a mound, a protrusion. Hayah be'emtza ha-mizbeach was in the middle of the mizbeach, the large mizbeach. Pa'amim hayah olav kishlosh meyos kur. Sometimes it had like 300 kur, which is an enormous amount. And it doesn't mean, as we will see, that they literally measured 300. Amarava Guzma, it's an exaggeration. Similarly, according to one opinion, Hishku es hatamid bekoshal zahav, they gave the animal to drink in a vessel of gold. It should drink, it'll be easier if it's hydrated to skin it later. So they gave it to drink right before the slaughter. Amarava Guzma, Rava said it wasn't necessarily gold or gold every time. It's an expression that they used a dignified cup to give the animal to drink. In contrast to what the animal would normally drink from, a trough, now it's a celebrity. It's in the Beis HaMikdash. It's about to be shecht for the karban. So it's a koshel zahav. It's a vessel of gold. That's how it's described. But Rava says not necessarily literally. Amar Rabbi Ami, Dibra Torah Lashon Havoy. The Torah sometimes speaks with exaggeration, with things that are not 100% accurate. Dibru Nevi'im Lashon Havoy. The prophets sometimes speak like that. Dibru Chachomim Lashon Havoy. The sages sometimes speak like that. Dibru Chachomim Lashon Havoy Hada Amrun. So the case of the sages, the Talmudic scholars, I already gave you such an example. two examples we gave. One was the 300 kor on the Mizbeach of ash, and the other was the vessel of gold, which we're told is not necessarily literally. Hada Amrin, we mentioned it. Dibra Torah Lashon Havoi, I'll give you an example in the Torah. Orim Gidolos Uvitsuros Bashamoyim. The nations in what would become the land of Israel have fortified cities, which their fortifications go up to heaven. They don't go up to heaven. Come on. So the Marsha and the commentaries explain that even though it's an exaggeration, and one can simply learn, well, that's the way people talk, but on some level, the expression of Betsuras Bashamayim means that the same way that you have to crane your neck, you have to bend upwards to see the heavens, that's how you have to bend upwards to be able to see the top of these fortifications. They're really high. So again, it's not like totally off base. It's an expression that has a richness to it if you're paying attention. Dibru Neviim Lashon Havoi, you find it in the prophets as well. Vatiboka ha'oretz likolam. The earth shattered. It was an earthquake to their voice. And that's a sensation. That's a feeling. It doesn't necessarily mean literal, and it doesn't in this case. It's an expression. One other example from our Gemara, five lines down into the wide, Shlosh Meyos Kohanim at Bilimosa, it took 300 Kohanim to immerse the paroches in a mikvah. And again, not clear that it took really 300. The Gemara says it's an expression, which, as we explained, means an enormous number. We have, you may recall, the expression that Rav Preda taught his student 400 times. Once we know this system, it doesn't necessarily mean literally 400 times. It means an excessive amount that displayed enormous, unlimited patience. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.